I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It's nice to be on the right side of things, isn't it, Jeff Bartos? It's just, it feels good.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so great to hear your voice. I hope that you and your family are well, and best, of course, to all your listeners.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. I'll give some headlines. We were poking some fun at Hannity for his long-winded questions. So now I have to be I said, you guys will have a whip sound if I talk too much, right? And not let, you know, the people I'm interviewing answer properly.
I love how
properly.
You're even speeding up this.
I know.
Right?
I'm like, because now I'm conscious of it.
Like Ben Shapiro over here.
But a couple of headlines, and I'll just throw out there and then ask you to respond, Jeff. One of them is something that I had first reported weeks ago, and that was UPenn sources said they were bracing for cuts or frozen funds and even directing their department chairs to reduce admission rates, even at grad programs, to face the federal research funding cuts. And then today we hear that as much as $270 million frozen, it looks like, for now. At UPenn, that's one headline that's locally a lot of reaction to. And the other headline, something that you had put out on social media, Jeff Bartos, and that is that you just saw the October 8th, the film, that you're highly recommending it, and something I know that you feel very passionately about, and that's the anti-Semitism that we've seen in the country. Two big headlines this morning. Your reaction, Jeff Bartos.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Yes, Cheryl and I did see the film October 8th, two nights ago, and I highly recommend it. Yes, anti-Semitism has exploded. It's important to note that this is a 30-year project that the Muslim Brotherhood and their networks, the American Muslims for Palestine, Students for Justice in Palestine, they've been working on this project since 1993, but it exploded on October 8th, right, you know, in the immediate aftermath of Hamas's unprovoked attack on Israel. And I think the filmmaker, and I've listened to an interview from her, how difficult it was in Hollywood to even get this film made for all of the reasons that we're very aware of, the cancel culture and the wokeness there. But she did get the film made. Credit to her, credit to all of the students and attorneys and the Hollywood folks who did appear, you know, who had the courage. I can't believe we say that's courage, but the courage to appear in the film and to deliver the message. And I think the overriding message, yes, anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine, but this really, I think it's helpful to think about this explosion of hatred that we've seen since Hamas's unprovoked attack is really anti-American, anti-West, anti-Judeo-Christian values, really is geared, as I mentioned, this 30-year project, this has been geared to fracture the very foundation of our society, of our civilization. And that's why I think every American, everyone who loves Western civilization should see the film, should be aware of what's been happening, and then commit to doing whatever they can to fight back. And of course, all the credit in the world to President Trump and to Attorney General Bondi and to FBI Director Kash Patel, and to my friend Leo Terrell, who's leading the efforts at the Justice Department. They are not stopping. They're working every day to combat this anti-American, anti-West, anti-Semitism wherever they find it.
Hey, Dawn, I actually do have part of a trailer of that movie, if you'd like to.
I'd love to. Yeah, this is a must-see.
And youtube.com/@1210WPHT to see the video. Take a watch.
That the entire globe would be in mourning. And not only was it silent, there was jubilation.
I wasn't seeing an ideological disagreement. I was seeing hatred.
Free Palestine!
The hate started flooding in almost immediately.
Students called it resistance. They called it justified. They began calling Zionist students racist.
We are Hamas!
Standing up for being Jewish got me more hate than all the things that I have said on social media and on my podcast combined.
and I've said a lot.
For every one video that is pro-Israeli, there's 54 pro-Hamas and pro-Palestine videos, sir.
Foreign state and non-state actors are seeding the online space with false narratives in order to impact the stability of Western democracy.
30 years ago, leaders of Hamas in America met and discussed strategy to hijack students' minds.
Israel!
Adapting the concept of intifada. Violence will follow.
This is not about Jews. This is about democracy. This is about human decency.
What does it mean that the future leaders of the most important democracy in the world are chanting for intifada? What is the country going to look like a decade from now?
What is at stake is the soul of America.
Yeah, and Jeff, we wanted the whole thing to play to focus on. This is not just about one group of individuals. It's about America and preserving who we are as a nation. Am I right here?
Yes, and it has been something our family has discussed extensively and something that we went with six friends the other night to see the film, one of whom is a college president, a newly installed college president. And what we talked about afterwards was we've all said when we walked out of the film, thank God President Trump won. Now, I've said that many times since the early morning hours of November 5th, November 6th, I guess, that Wednesday. But I can't imagine what the country would continue to look like had he not won, and the executive orders that he's put in place and the people he's appointed. We're sitting here, it's day 530. Let me say that again for emphasis. Day 530 of Hamas's unprovoked war, really Iran's war against Israel. Israel's been fighting a seven-front defensive war, really at the tip of the spear, defending Western civilization. There still remains 59 hostages being held in the tunnels underground in Hamas, including five Americans. And most recently, Steve Witkoff, who's, again, I should have mentioned him before, what a remarkable job Ambassador Witkoff's been doing, shuttling all over the world to try to bring peace wherever he goes. Hamas rejected recently two very smart offers by Ambassador Witkoff on behalf of President Trump. So Israel's doing what they need to do. But for everyone, look, everyone listening, I think, already knows this, but it's worth repeating that the mainstream media and, the legacy media and many, unfortunately, too many foreign capitals talk about this war in inaccurate terms. And the truth of the matter, very simply, this war could have been over 529 days ago if Hamas had surrendered and returned all the hostages. Yeah. They've chosen not to do that, and they've brought absolute destruction upon their people.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I've been reporting, Jeff, just so you know, reporting on worldwide what's happening with the Israeli strikes. But I will say this, as Israel has said, Hamas has broken the ceasefire deal or any deal because they won't return those hostages. And so we know that's ongoing. But also it was tragic that President Trump, during one of his executive studies, might have been in the Oval, forgive me, but within the past, I'll say 10 days, revealed that of the 59 hostages that have been held now 530 days, it looks like the word they have is maybe only two dozen, maybe only 24 or less are actually alive. Jeff, I can't even, that's just it. As somebody, and you know me, like, right, that, you know, locally, I've been in the media and been in the news. This is such a shame. This will be looked back upon our American news media in particular, that they're not reporting this, or these hostages, these victims who died in, like you're saying, 530 days. My God, this will be remembered. History will be unkind to our so-called mainstream media.
Oh, yes. I mean, they've completely failed. I take no joy in that. It's painful to, I mean, I have friends I talk to all the, I mean, I get a lot of calls and people say to me, well, isn't it wrong that the First Amendment rights of this Columbia student are, and I have to then take 5 to 10 minutes to explain First Amendment law and what the rights of someone who lied on their green card application are, and how could someone get a green card if they've only been here on a student visa for 2 years? And it's a lot of time and effort to undo the damage done by I will say either lazy reporting by the mainstream media, or I would say probably more malicious and mm-hmm. and intentionally with a terrible bias that is doing great damage not only to their reputation and their standing, but also to the safety, security, and well-being of our country. But again, I return to that theme. Thank God President Trump yeah. and Vice President Vance and their team, and I keep mentioning people, a national security advisor Mike Waltz, like the team he's put around him, the UN ambassador designee, Elise Stefanik, who posts almost every day for 530 days about the hostages. I mean, we have remarkably capable leaders who lead with moral clarity and strength and compassion and a focus on bringing peace. And gosh, you know, Dawn, I try not to do this. It's a dangerous thought experiment, but just imagine if we'd had this team in place on October 7th, and President Trump likes to say, and he's absolutely right, this wouldn't have happened. Had he been in office. But again, thank goodness they're there, and they're going to bring this to the best possible conclusion they can. And we have our ally Israel's back, because Israel's fighting this battle at the tip of the spear to defend all of Western civilization.
And just as we're speaking, I'll just mention this as an aside, Jeff Bartos. As we're speaking, local stations not reporting what you just said, 530 days, hopefully 24 hostages alive out of the 59 who they have. But Swarthmore College responding to sanctions that it placed on 15 students who participated in those anti-Jewish, anti-Israel protests. I refuse to say pro-Palestinian. That's not what it's being recognized as, according to students there. And so it's important how they relate it. But now they're showing these chopper shots of these protests happening. So that's the reaction, not, oh, good. Let's make sure everybody knows at Swarthmore that none of us support this.
Yeah, they're lost. I mean, they have Swarthmore and Haverford and way too many Bryn Mawr, way too many schools. I mean, we can kind of zoom out and look across Western capitals, whether it's in London or Paris or across Europe, all the way through the United States into Canada. I mean, some of the Canadian universities are as bad as it gets, Concordia and McGill and others. So it's really across the West, Australia. I mean, I could go on and on where these problems exist, and they've become untethered. And we saw it when Ambassador Designee Stefanik questioned those three college presidents in December of 2023, and it exposed to the world the moral and intellectual rot that has been festering for three decades on these campuses. President Trump's education department, his HHS department, his Justice Department are all, I mean, there's a task force that's been empowered by the president, by Attorney General Bondi, and by the various cabinet secretaries of the agencies I just mentioned. They're all focused on starting to remedy these. It's a shame it's come to this, right? Yeah. Because the universities could have fixed this in the early days. They chose not to. And as you said, very smartly, you know, this is not pro-Palestinian. You cannot be pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas. Hamas, every death of a civilian is a tragedy. For Hamas, it's a strategy. Their strategy is to have more of their people killed. Yeah. Think about that. You can't be pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas. So these student protesters are pro-Hamas, they're pro-terror, they're anti-American, they're anti-West, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. These universities are going to fix this, or the market's going to move on.
Yeah.
Smart students and smart parents and smart families are going to look at schools that are not infected with this rot, this moral and intellectual rot, and they're going to vote with their feet and their wallets, and we're seeing it, whether it's the University of Florida, the University of Georgia. I mean, I could go all through the SEC, all through the South, through the Deep South, and look at these universities that are benefiting from the failure of these so-called leaders in colleges and universities in the Northeast and really, you know, throughout America to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something good. You know, I know a lot of conservative talk radio, they love to talk about the Democrats' abysmal numbers. But, you know, when our sports teams win, when we root for the Eagles, we don't talk about who we beat. We talk about how we need to prevail. So tell me something good. I mean, I'm so, first of all, my good is that somebody of the high caliber of Jeff Bartos remains at the side of President Trump. You were a senior advisor in the campaign. I think it's smart that he's surrounding himself with people like you, Jeff. Tell me something good that you are looking forward to and where your eyes are as you look toward the road and the goal.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much positive. I mean, it feels like every morning is Christmas morning since 12:01 on January 20th. So I think that the amount of positive, and I appreciate you. I appreciate the question, Dawn. I'm very purposefully not wanted to criticize any Democrats here. We're not in campaign mode. We're in governing mode. And so I think it's very important to focus on exactly what you just said. You could go down the list, whether it's EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who's cutting regulation. Some of the fastest and most focused regulation cuts we've ever seen to get our energy industry moving again, to get our economy moving again, to, as Secretary Bessent at the Treasury Department likes to say, unwinding this dependence on government spending and reinflating, if you will, or really kind of strengthening the private sector, because there's been this addiction to public spending. So I think whether it's Treasury, whether it's EPA, as I mentioned, Ambassador Designee Stefanik will bring strength and moral clarity to her role. Secretary Duffy, look what he's doing. Yes. And talking about every day on reimagining and fixing our broken technology that we rely on in our transportation systems. I think you could go through every cabinet agency. I saw this morning that my friend Kash Patel and his team at the FBI have just brought in their third most of the 10 most wanted in something like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're looking at interdicting drugs that we haven't seen at a level before at our borders. I think the economy, as President Trump likes to say, the golden age of America is upon us. And I'd say in every cabinet agency, at every sub-cabinet level, in all of these different departments, the president has appointed the best cabinet in our history, the most capable cabinet in our history, an exceptional group of leaders to take America forward and continue the role that we have, which is to lead the world, lead the free world, with a focus on peace through strength, peace, prosperity, and American leadership. I just think the golden age really is upon us. We all work so hard in Pennsylvania to help the president, to help Dave McCormick, to help our House candidates. So I think, we're now, we just need to keep working. I think my closing message would be the work is ongoing.
Yes.
Winning elections is important. It's the work. It's the daily grinding work to move the policies forward, to support the right candidates, to get out and fight the misinformation. It's a job that all of us can do. No matter what you do in life, whatever your profession is, whatever your job is, all of us can do our part.
Amen. Well, Jeff Bartos, yeah, you're doing your part. Jeff Bartos, my friend, until next time, thanks so much for being here this morning and telling us something good.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jeff.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.